Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deep left into the bleachers, a two-run homer.
A swing and a miss, ball game.
Liftoff.
And history marches on, 22 consecutive wins.
From the sports desk of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com, this is Leading Off with Ryan Lewis, a podcast on the Cleveland Indians.
Santana makes the catch! Ball game! The Indians have won the American League pennant!
The Cleveland Indians are going to the World Series!
Now, Ryan Lewis and Dan Kadar.
True crime lovers are always looking for new and engaging content.
The Already Gone podcast covers stories from Michigan and the Great Lakes region. Cases you haven't heard before, like the Mayo Hunters or the murder of 16-year-old Justin Mello. Plus, better-known cases like the death of Jane Bishara and Illinois' own Lori Dann. Already Gone started in 2016, so there is a big back catalog for you to enjoy. Find Already Gone on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, or your favorite podcatcher.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Leading Off. This is Dan Kadar, and of course I'm joined by Ryan Lewis. And Ryan, let's get right into the thick of things. Today we're going to talk about a couple playoff things briefly as we're recording this on Wednesday, just before 1:30. The Indians sit a half game out of the wild card race. They're in a battle with the A's and Rays still, who are unrelenting. We'll talk about that briefly today. I want to talk about James Karinchak, the fireball throwing reliever that the Indians finally called up late in the season. But Ryan, we're going to start today with Jason Kipnis, the longtime Indian second baseman, is likely out for the rest of the season. He has an injury similar to that of Jose Ramirez with the hamate bone. Jason Kipnis has really kind of been a stalwart for the Indians for a long time. He's been an all-star twice. His play on the field has been fairly consistent over the years. It's sometimes been frustrating, sometimes been incredible. Give me your thoughts on Jason Kipnis, the baseball player, and on the field, and then we'll talk about him a little more off the field.
On the field, he's been an all-star caliber player at times. He's had a somewhat inconsistent tenure with the Indians, a lot of that brought on by injuries. He dealt with an oblique injury for nearly an entire season that really kind of sapped his power to that left center gap, which is a key part to what he's able to do at the plate. He's had two all-star seasons. He's had stretches where he's had record-breaking stretches. He's had record-breaking months, and he's had a couple of very slow starts the last couple of years. Last year to the point where, at times he's been dropped down in the lineup. He's been clearly frustrated. He struggled to either stay on the field or he struggled to remain healthy while playing through some stuff. But in terms of on the field, he's been, one of the staples in this lineup for a long time, through this contention window so far, through some rebuilding years, through Terry Francona's, time with the team. He's been one of the real, key players that, that the Indians have been able to, play most every day when he's healthy, and know that he'll at least take care of what he's supposed to do. It's a key loss. There are times where he hasn't hit very well. There are times where his defense, hasn't ranked, terribly well or rated terribly well. But they're, for the most part, he's held his own at second base. He's been, that guy that the Indians can have, hitting sixth, seventh, sometimes second, and know that, you know, at the very least, one thing that they've always liked is that he can move runners over when needed. If he needs to pull something to move a runner over, he can. Little things like that, I think those things have kind of helped to add to his value. He's certainly one of the more well-liked players from the fan base for recent years. And, you know, if this is, the ending to his Indians tenure, I think there are a lot of fans that will be very upset about that. He's been a really quality player for much of his tenure, and it's a key blow and another blow to this team right now.
Mm-hmm. In his career, Jason Kipnis has hit .261 with the Indians, 123 home runs, 529 RBIs. This season, his average is just .245 because, like you said, he got off to a slow start. But boy, he and Carlos Santana for a little bit there were the guys, and then Lindor too were the ones propping up the offense. Roberto Perez at other points. I don't know, man. I'm a big Jason Kipnis fan. One of our former colleagues here, Jim Carney, early in Kipnis' career, referred to him as a fullback playing second base, and just a tough player, played hard. And to me, I think he's going to go down as a guy that, you know, a local favorite. People in Minnesota or Los Angeles or Detroit, wherever anybody else, when they hear Jason Kipnis, they'll just think, oh, man, he was just a solid player for a while with the Indians. But locally, boy, he is a fan favorite, I think. And for years, he's done the shoe toss at the end of the season where he basically cleans out his locker and hands it to fans at Progressive Field. He's one of the guys that helped bring Joe Boo back into the Indians clubhouse, having that go from fiction to real life, and that's fun. Off the field, I guess, with Jason Kipnis, Ryan, how well liked is he in the locker room, and how important is that in baseball, particularly compared to other sports? I mean, it seems like Jason Kipnis was, from my outside purview, the glue guy in the clubhouse for the Indians.
Yeah, I mean, in 2015, later on in the year, that was a frustrating stretch that summer for the Indians, and they had a team meeting, and they sort of elected in a way, you know, four leaders in that clubhouse, and it was Corey Kluber, Michael Brantley, Yan Gomes, and Jason Kipnis. Those four were sort of, in a way, you know, almost put in charge of, spreading a message of what this team wants to be about. And they had the player contract that they did. Kipnis has definitely been, you know, one of those guys in the clubhouse that's certainly been looked at in a either pseudo or just in general a leadership role. And that is something that is difficult to quantify. It's difficult to say how much that has helped or how much, you know, losing some leadership hurts. But with Kipnis, with Kluber, with, you know, several other guys throughout the last several years, you know, the team does point to certain cases where, you know, they may know how to address certain things. Which younger guys might respond to different tactics better, and being able to help younger players kind of ride some negative ways a little bit better than they would have otherwise, and those things can help, and it's nothing that you can see or track, but and there are cases where it's certainly there, and Kipnis has definitely been right near the top of this team. It's a big blow. When Michael Brantley was hurt, he kept talking about, essentially wanting to be a coach. I imagine that's, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. We're going to meet with Kipnis in an hour or two. I imagine that he'll say something similar. But Francisco Lindor and some other players have talked in the past about how, important that can be and how important he has been. Just being vocal on the field, helping them out with certain things. And with Kipnis, you think about Kipnis, he's had some down years recently, which I'm sure right now with the fan base is in the forefront of their minds. He also he had two All-Star seasons, and in 2016, Jason Kipnis scored from second base in Game 7 of the World Series, which is a play that, if the Indians win, it's amazing that that doesn't get talked about, because it was like the 20th biggest thing that happened that night, because that game was ridiculous. But Jason Kipnis scored from second on a wild pitch that cut the Cubs lead in half in Game 7 of the World Series. It's an amazing play, and he also had that foul ball down the line that for a split second, depending on where you were in the stadium or maybe watching on TV, it looked like it might have a chance to go as a World Series winning walk-off home run. He's certainly had some key moments. He certainly had a huge impact within that clubhouse. He's certainly one of the more well-liked, more revered players. Tito talked yesterday about how his response to these things isn't necessarily like, woe is us, from a team's perspective, because he feels that they can try to figure it out. He often feels bad for just the player having to deal with certain things. And with Kipnis, it's certainly a tough situation, to where it could be the case that a 9-year tenure or 8.5-year tenure is about to come to an end. He has a club option for next year. The Indians are very likely to decline it at $16.5 million. It's still possible that he could return in some fashion at some point, but for now, it looks like it's going to be the end of his tenure in Cleveland.
Yeah. So if that is the end, that's our little ode to Jason Kipnis there to start the podcast off this week. Like Ryan said, he's talking later today. You can find all the coverage of that over at ohio.com/Indians. Ryan, let's talk a couple other things, and then we'll get out of here. My current baseball fascination is this reliever that the Indians brought up, James Karinchak. His numbers in the minors this season are absurd. Maybe other players have had numbers similar to this. I don't follow minor league stats that closely. But when you strike out 82 batters in 33 and two-third innings, and I see things like he can hit 100 miles an hour, I get excited. I think my favorite thing in baseball is a giant-armed relief pitcher. It's just electric when they're on the field. I want to know everything about this guy. Tell me what you know about him.
Well, the way that he fits into this bullpen is really interesting, because that's been the trend across baseball for several years. All these relievers who can throw 96, 97, 98, 99. There are a couple that can throw 102.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the trend. Have as many big arms in the back end of your bullpen as possible. The Indians, in a way, zig when everybody was zagging. They don't really have that. They've had a very effective bullpen this year. They've got a lot of pieces that can fit well together when healthy and when everyone's in a rhythm. But they really haven't had that fireballer at the end, and that is James Karinchak. I believe his strikeout rate was like 22 per nine innings, so more than two-thirds of his outs are by strikeout in the minors. The Indians had said that his call-up was more about, just wanting to kind of see what they might have in him, how his stuff plays at this level, more so than a direct response to Brad Hand going down. They mentioned his fielding at one point. I think it became a scenario where, he had to be called up. He said that he was a little surprised, because once he wasn't called up at the beginning of September, he thought that he would pitch with Columbus through the Triple A playoffs. He's someone who he could have a big part in this bullpen, either quickly or relatively quickly, if we're talking about next season, as a guy who is that big arm, who maybe if he keeps up anywhere close to a strikeout rate, that eighth inning role, something that the Indians haven't had as defined as they have in the past. Brian Shaw, Andrew Miller, et cetera. James Karinchak is certainly a candidate to fill, that role. That, his velocity, everything that he's able to throw at hitters, no one in the minors has had an answer. Those are video game numbers if you're playing the show on rookie level. he's the numbers are eye-popping, to say the least. And he has a chance to really carve out his role, you know, just dependent on how his stuff plays at this level, how it's hit. The Indians are kind of waiting to see, you know, what comes from it. He's been, you know, okay thus far. It's, you know, it's still pretty early to tell anything along those lines. But he's got to set up a major part in his bullpen, and the Indians have depth there. They've had several guys the last couple of years make very quick, you know, work of the minor leagues and you know, elevate themselves to the majors pretty quickly, and Krajicek's one of them. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why the Indians couldn't afford to make some moves, or at least to look at some other moves, talking about both relievers and starters. It kind of allowed them some flexibility, knowing that they may have some low-cost talent able to be at the major league level, to where, you know, they're pre-arbitration eligible, which is a huge asset, especially for this team and in this position. You know, Krajicek might have a bright future. He's certainly going to be one of the more enjoyable pitchers to watch for fans, that's for sure. And, you know, he definitely stands out right now between the other arms in the Indians' bullpen. So he really could carve out a role pretty quickly. It'll be interesting to see. And he's certainly being thrust right into the middle of this playoff chase, especially with Brad Hand out. Brad Hand is expected to throw a bullpen session today. But with Hand out, it's sort of an all-hands-on-deck situation, and Krajicek could play a really key role over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'll be fascinating to see how he's used and how he does. And I'm just as fascinated by 2020 for him as anything, because I don't know how many weeks we spent this season talking about will they or won't they with the Indians trading Brad Hand. And, of course, obviously they didn't, but this is a guy who, with those kind of results, you would naturally think if Brad Hand gets moved, he would get looked at as a closer for the Indians potentially. So I'm fascinated. Like, whether or not the Indians make the playoffs, I'm still fascinated to watch how this guy does and see it. I mean, he's pitched, what, an inning and a third, and he has 3 strikeouts so far already? So I don't know. I love those big arm relievers as all. So that's a little bit on him. We've talked about this a lot the last few weeks, and of course we will again today as we record this again on Wednesday, just after 1:30 now. The Indians have 11 games left. They're in the midst of a series against the Detroit Tigers, and then things get interesting. The Indians are a half game out of the wild card. Again, they're chasing the Rays and A's, who we talked last week. The Indians have a tougher schedule than those two teams. Ryan, is there anything different, in your opinion, on where the Indians are possibly headed compared to last week about the playoffs? And what do you think? They're just kind of hanging around, aren't they?
They're right in it. I think this is going to go down to the last day or two. They're kind of clawing their way right now. The A's are really, they've been playing their best baseball. They have the easiest schedule of the 3 remaining. It's pretty likely that the A's are going to be one of those 2 teams. So barring, you know, something going wrong there, barring a complete meltdown in Minnesota that might bring the division race into play, which is like a 2% chance at most of happening, the Indians and the Rays for the last spot right now. That's just the way that things have been trending. Again, the interesting part is that those last 3 days, the Rays go to Tampa, or sorry, the Rays go to Toronto from Tampa. I was half right. And the Indians have to go to Washington to play the Nationals without their DH. It's certainly a less than ideal situation for that Indians lineup that's already without Jose Ramirez and now Jason Kipnis in that infield. And the Indians are going to have to rely on Mike Freeman and or Andrew Velasquez or Yu Chang to make some serious contributions within that lineup, because in the way that the Indians corrected an issue at the trade deadline when they acquired Reyes and Puig to extend that lineup, you know, the Indians are sort of in a way back to closer to where they were in May, where they're struggling with that bottom half of the lineup on paper. At the very least, has question marks, and it's short on track records, and it's something where you know, the Indians are going to have to kind of fight and claw their way to this and find contributions, you know, from those who haven't exactly done it at the major league level yet. You know, they've been repeatedly kind of punched in the gut over the last couple of weeks between Kluber's setback, Jose Ramirez, Tyler Naquin, Jason Kipnis, Brad Hand, on and on. You know, and like we talked about last week, you know, things have continued to kind of trend in a negative way. The Indians are right there, though, still. And they get to play the Tigers the next two nights. They've won 15 in a row against the Trunk, which is a complete reversal of how things were going 3 or 4 years ago. So they can kind of enjoy their schedule for now. You know, playing the Phillies, playing the Nationals certainly isn't ideal. And if this goes down to the last couple of days, the Indians are going to have to find contributions from those who haven't really done it yet, especially if they can't get Reyes and Puig into the lineup. Though at this point, they may have to try to find a way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, like you said, right down to the last second or last games of the season here. And look, it's something Major League Baseball is very aware of. It's no coincidence the Indians are on a nationally televised game on Fox on tomorrow. That's kind of weird, a Thursday nationally televised baseball game, and then the Indians are on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN against the Phillies, and then they have another national game before the end of the season. They'll probably have a couple here. So it's going to be interesting. Whether or not it's going to be fun, we'll see. Ryan, anything else this week before we get out of here?
I think we're good, man.
All right, that's going to do it here on Leading Off. Again, you can find all of Ryan's stuff over at ohio.com/Indians. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. He's at @ryanlewis. Thanks, everyone, for listening this week, and we'll talk to you next time.